Who did that? Who did that? No doubt one of my friends on the red team. All right, Pie the Pastor tomorrow night. Here comes Bobby. All right, for the blue team, 20,000 for every online visitor they had, which was two. So 40,000 points to the blue team. For the red team, 20,000 for every online visitor they had for the red team, which was 13, $260,000. 260,000 points. I said dollars. Sorry about that. Okay, now it's time for... No, we're going to skip that song. Sorry about that. One more game. Here we go. One more game. I need one person from each team. About the same age. So let's go a young person. Young person, one from each team, please. Up here very quickly. All right, here's how this game works. When I say go, you'll have 60 seconds. And what I need you to do with the chopstick in your mouth, like so, all right? I won't try to talk with it in my mouth. It'll sound weird. Kind of like Pastor Taylor on Facebook last night. Fake news, that's what he calls it. All right, so you have to, with your mouth, scoop up pretzels and deposit them on this plate, as many as you can, in 60 seconds. Are you ready, blue team? Is the blue team ready? Is the red team ready? Are you ready? Go! Get down lower, lower. All right, blue team's got two. Blue team's got two.
Bring it to you.
You can hold that plate with one hand. You can hold on to your plate with one hand. One hand. Yep, there we go. Three for the blue team. Seconds. Two more. Time's up. Blue team, 100,000 points. All right. Are you ready to preach after that? With all this mess up here? He'll be down here on the floor, though. Yes.
How about our cheer?
We got to do the cheers. That's right. That's right. Okay. A quick practice. 60-second timer on the clock. 60-second timer for practice. Go. You got 55 seconds. You got 50 seconds. You got 40 seconds. I think the red team's ready. Red team is just about ready on theirs. You got 30 seconds for practice. You ready? Okay, who wants to go first? Blue,
Red go first.
Red, you're going first. Go. Okay, blue team, let's hear it. Was nice. Wait, ladies, stay up here. We're gonna do it one more time now, okay? So, red team, you know what the competition is. These are so diverse. This one here, we're awesome. We're awesome. We're so proud. We're so vain. We're awesome. We're awesome. Hit him in the head with a big dead possum. Yeah. All right. Here we go, red. One more time. Go. Team, go! Blue team was louder. 100,000 points to the blue team. All right. Now, if we could keep the noisemakers down. Okay, so kids, I want you to help me with this. If you see an adult playing with their noisemaker, I want you to take it away from them, okay? Don't let them play with their noisemakers right now. Brother Thomas, why don't you come on up, please?
All right. Well, good to see you tonight. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis chapter number 6. Good to see everybody. Good to see some visitors here tonight. And if I didn't get a chance to meet you before the service, certainly like to get a chance to meet you afterwards. And so, Genesis chapter number 6, and I hope you had a good day today. I went to the state fair today, first state fair I've ever been to in my life, and I thought maybe you could gain about 10 pounds just by walking around there and smelling all the good smells, and it was pretty neat, and so they had all kinds of cool things out at the state fair, but this is more exciting, and so I'm glad you're here. Genesis chapter number 6, now this is for young and old alike. If you had a favorite Bible story, now, I believe the Bible is literally the Word of God. I don't write it, didn't write it, just preach it. And so sometimes when we say story, we think maybe like fable, but the Bible's not a fable, it's the Word of God, it's true. And I'll remind you this, the Bible's not an old-fashioned book, it's a timeless book. It's for every generation. And so when I say Bible story, I want to know maybe a couple of you, maybe what your favorite Bible story is. Do you have a favorite Bible story? You can raise your hand. You have one? What's your favorite? Peter. He's a good character, isn't he? Somebody once said that Peter was the most American of all the disciples because he said, not knowing what he said. And so I've done that before. What's your favorite Bible story?
Esther.
Yeah. Jonah. You like Jonah? Yeah. What is that? Noah. Yeah. Anybody else? Favorite Bible story? There's many of them. Yes, ma'am. David. Yeah, David was a mighty king. Yes, sir. Moses. Yes. Yes, sir. Philip. Philip's the only person in the New Testament called an evangelist. Good. I'm glad you know that already there. Yes, ma'am, in the back. Joseph. Joseph is a challenge. And so there's a lot of good ones. You can put your hands down. And these were real people. They were written about for our admonition and our learning, the scripture says. And tonight we're going to look at probably the most familiar, I mean, even people that aren't Christians, they know the story about Noah. And it's interesting to look at. Noah is an interesting person, interesting character. And so we'll start at Genesis chapter 6. And last night we looked at Adam's family, not the Adam's family, but Adam's family. We looked at Adam's home, and we looked at his home had some heartbreak. But we looked at Adam's hope. You know what his hope was? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was his hope. And so tonight we're going to look at Noah, and we're going to learn some things about Noah's family. Notice what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, Noah's day, according to that verse, was it a good time to be alive or a bad time to be alive? According to that verse, it's pretty rough. I mean, men had evil thoughts and evil intentions so much as they would think about evil things 24/7. What would God say about 2019? It's pretty rough. And so the men were wicked. They had wicked hearts. The Bible says that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And verse 6 says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So man's heart, we learn right away from Noah's story, the time that Noah lived, man's heart was sinful. Now, I'm just going to keep all these kids right in tune, so I want you to say that with me. Man's heart was sinful. Say it again. Man's heart was sinful. Can I ask you a question? Is man's heart still sinful today? Yeah. Okay, give me some good examples. I want some children to give me some feedback. What do you think are some examples of sinful acts today? What would be a sinful act? Yes, Carson. Murder. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Now, I believe it's perfectly okay to defend yourself. I believe it's perfectly okay to defend this country. I believe it's okay to take out the bad guys. But to lash out in anger and murder is wrong. Hey, Jesus took it a step further in his ministry. You know what he said? If you have hatred in your heart to somebody else, it's like you're murdering them already. But that's a good example of a sinful act, murder. What about anybody else got one? Yes, Elise. Bullies? Yeah, bullying can be pretty bad. Yeah, that's not very respectful. Vance? Oh, yeah, not respecting your mom and dad. That's a commandment. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt honor thy father and mother. That's a commandment. So every time, young person, every time you disobey mom and dad, you know what you do? You break God's commandment. How about this? Now, what we're talking about, some things that maybe are really, really bad, but let me ask you this. Is lying a sin? Absolutely. That's one of the commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness. So that means basically you shouldn't tell a lie. Now you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have told one or two or three? And a lie can be a half-truth, not being totally honest. It could be cheating on a test. And every time you lie, according to the scriptures, you break God's law. And one of the most sobering verses in all of the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, the Bible says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their place in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. That's very sobering, because liars are in that list. How many lies does it take to be a liar? Just one. Do men steal today? They steal. If you take something, I mean, you say, well, I've never stolen any money and I've never taken anything that doesn't belong to me. If you take something off the internet that should be paid for, that you're not paying for, you know what that is? It's stealing. And every time you steal, you break God's law. So we look at Noah's day, and in Noah's day, men were wicked, their hearts were sinful before God, and you can say the exact same things about man today. Our hearts are sinful before God, and if you've ever told one lie, the Bible teaches that's enough to keep you out of heaven, because heaven is a perfect place, and God can't allow sin into heaven. And so really the way the world was when Noah was alive, it was a bad place to live. Man's heart was evil. And the Bible says that it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So man's heart is sinful. And you know what? That makes God's heart sorrowful. And he's thinking about doing something about this. And the Bible says in verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. So God says, I'm done with this creation. And by the way, he can. He's the creator. He spoke it into existence. And I know there's many people that believe that the world evolved over millions of years. And I would say it's interesting to think about the other aspect of creation. I think it's just as scientifically accurate or even more accurate. We're looking at the same evidence, but we're interpreting it in different ways. And all through the history of every civilization in this world, almost every single one has a major flood story in its history. It's interesting. It's just not specific to the Bible and the Jewish account. It's interesting, if you study Chinese writings, they use caricatures for their letters. And it's interesting, you know what the Chinese character for flood is? 8 people in a boat. And so even the Chinese have a flood history in their background. And somebody would say, well, what about the fossil record? I think that's one of the greatest evidences of a worldwide flood. It's amazing to think about. And so here's Noah. And you see Noah. And point number one is real simple. We'll just call it Noah's faith. Because even in a wicked, wicked world that Noah lived in, you know what? Noah still had faith in God. He did. In spite of the majority, the Bible says in verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Notice verse 9. Noah, the Bible says, was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Now that's an amazing statement. And if you think about it, Noah didn't say that about himself. God said that about Noah. And when the Bible says that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, now let me tell you this, that does not mean that Noah was perfectly sinless, because there's never been a man on the earth, the Bible says, that's been perfectly sinless. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Do you think there's ever been anybody on the face of the earth that's never told one lie? I asked a person a couple of years ago, I was talking to them about the Lord and sharing the gospel with them, and I said, well, have you ever told a lie? She says, you know what, I really don't think I've ever lied. And I just wanted to step back and wait for the lightning to fall. And you meet some people that from time to time they think they're perfect, but the Bible says there are no perfect people. And one sin can keep a person out of heaven. And so you see Noah's faith. The Bible says that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Now, boys and girls, that doesn't mean he walked side by side with God every day. But that means he had a relationship with God. And he knew the Lord. And so anyway, God looks upon the earth and he sees the wickedness and he sees Noah. Verse 10, and Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And I want to challenge you just quickly before I move to point number 2. Noah's faith, he believed God in a wicked world. And can I tell you, you and I can still trust Almighty God no matter how wicked this world gets. And we know from the story, when God destroyed the earth in Noah's day, he did it with what? With water. The Bible tells us that God's going to destroy the earth again someday, and he's not going to do it with water. He's going to do it with what? With fire. And so it's interesting. So Noah, he begins to receive some instructions, the Bible says in verse 13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come up, are come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth, and make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms thou shalt make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. So God gives absolutely very specific instructions on exactly how to build the ark. Exactly how big to build the ark, how tall to build the ark, how wide to build it. And it's amazing. I've not been there yet, but you can go over to Kentucky or Ohio. I'm not sure. They're kind of on the state line. And you can see the ark encounter. And you can go into it and look at it, and you can see it, and it's pretty amazing, I've been told. And so Noah builds this ark. God gives him specific instructions, and it's interesting. The whole time Noah, now why is he building an ark? Because it's going to what? It's going to rain. You probably learned a children's song. The rain came down and the floods came up. And the Bible teaches us there was as much water that came up out of the earth that came down. And I mean, this was a violent catastrophe that shook the earth on its axis. And there are many scientists that believe that places like the Grand Canyon were places where the earth broke up and water came gushing forth and eventually receded back into the earth. And there's still a lot of water under the surface of the earth even now. And so God gave Noah specific instructions to build an ark because it was going to rain. There was going to be a lot of water. Now, this is very interesting. If you study the Bible up to this point, guess what's never happened on the earth? It's never rained before. According to the scripture, at this point in time, they'd never seen rain. So what's that make Noah look like? A fool. And the Bible tells us, Peter tells us, that Noah was not only a builder, it took him, some would say, almost 100 years to build this ark, but he was not only a builder. You want to know what Noah was? The Bible says, Peter says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So you know what that means, what Noah was doing? He was telling his friends, he was telling his family, he was telling everybody in his generation, you need to get right with God because this is all about to end. And could you see Noah's neighbors? Noah's a fool. I mean, he's talking about God's going to destroy the earth. I mean, we've been around here for a long time, and God's not going to destroy the earth. And old Noah's over there preaching, we better get right with God. And he's talking about something like rain. What a fool. It's never rained before. He's talking about water. We've never even seen rain. And here's Noah, and for almost 100 years, Noah is building and he's preaching. But you know what he's doing more importantly and very simply? He's just obeying the Lord. And Noah didn't come up with this. He didn't make it up. He's just obeying God. And so Noah had great faith. But it's interesting to think about, as a dad thinking about this stuff, you know what he was? He was a father and a husband. And I think about Noah and his boys. Notice the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, let me get back there. Genesis chapter 6. Now, I think that Noah had more than three children, but the Bible only mentions three children. He certainly could have had more. The Bible says in verse 10, and Noah begat three sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth. You know what? I think if Noah was a really smart guy, number one, he did obey God, but number two, if I was building a boat that size, I can promise you, if I have children, I am not building that boat by myself. Kids, we're going to work. And the Bible doesn't say so specifically, but if I could have a little bit of liberty just to talk about Noah and some parenting principles, I believe this. I believe Noah taught his boys, he taught his family how to work. And I've been challenged by that because you know what? Sometimes as a dad, it's easier for me to do things for my children than to teach them to do it themselves. Like clean up their room or pick up their shoes or organize their stuff outside the trailer. And it's real easy. I can take 30 seconds and make it look exactly like I want to do it. But is that really helping my children? It's not. And I've been challenged as my children go older, it's my responsibility to teach my children how to work. And it's not easy. And I'm telling you, if we'll just grab a hold of a principle that we're going to teach our boys and girls how to work and not be lazy, when it comes time for them to go out into society and get a job, guess what? They'll not have any trouble because they'll know how to work. And it's our responsibility to teach our kids how to work. I bet Noah taught his boys how to work. Nope, boys, you're going to get up with me this morning, and you're going to help me build this ark, and we're going to work on it. We're going to do this. I believe it was hard work. And so Noah taught his family how to work. We need to learn that. Number two, Noah taught his family how to worship. You say, well, how did he teach them how to worship? The best way that you and I can teach our children how to worship God is simply obey him. I mean, we can sing, and there's all kinds of different facets of worship in spiritual life, but really, all those things really don't really even matter if we're not going to obey God. And so you think about it. Noah taught his family how to work. He taught his boys, specifically his boys that mentions the boys, he taught them how to worship God through his own obedience and his example. And men, mark it down. If we will not simply obey God in our lives, we ought not be surprised if our children grow up and they don't obey him either. But he obeyed God. You say, how do we know he obeyed God? He built the ark. I mean, he got in the ark, the Bible says. Notice in chapter 7 and in verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Verse 2, of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. And God gets very specific. Verse number 5, the Bible says, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. While the whole rest of the world in Noah's day would say, Noah, you're a fool. I mean, you're preaching God's judgment upon the earth, and you're preaching it's going to rain, and we've never even seen rain. Noah, you're a fool. You're taking your family down a foolish path. But you know what? Noah had enough courage to simply teach his children by obeying God. Everything. And I'm sure there wasn't a lot he understood, but he got his family on the boat, didn't he? And when the time came, the Bible says Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Verse 7. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. That brings up another good point. Some things that Noah taught his family, specifically his boys, he taught them, number one, how to work. He taught them, number two, how to worship with his own submissive example. But number three, I believe he taught his boys about women. And let me just make it general. He taught his boys about finding the right spouse. You say, well, how do you get that? Well, the Bible says when God said, Noah, it's time to go in, he went in with his own wife and with his three boys. And guess who went in with them? The boys' wives went in with them. Now, there would have been a lot of ladies that would have said, I am not going in that boat. I'm not doing it. But you know what? I believe he taught his boys about how to find the right spouse. And you young people, teenagers specifically, can I challenge you, the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The second most important decision you'll ever make in your life is your spouse. And there's some people in this room that can tell you, you can choose the wrong mate in life and it will shipwreck your life. But you know what? It's our responsibility as parents to teach our kids how to work. Teach our kids how to worship just through our own submissive obedience to the Lord, regardless of what the rest of the world thinks. It's our responsibility to teach our children about how to find a right spouse. And I believe Noah was a good dad for all these reasons. So number one, you see Noah and his faith. Number two, you see Noah and his family. Let's read what happens. Noah in Genesis chapter 7 in verse number 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And so water was coming from the sky, and water was coming up through the ground. And verse 13, in the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the son of Noah, and Noah's wife, and his three wives of his sons went with him into the ark. The Bible says in verse 16, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And notice this, the Bible says, and the Lord shut him in. Now, let me ask you, this is a very logical question. Noah was saved from destruction, but was Noah saved from destruction because of his good works, because he was a good man. Noah was not saved from the wrath of God because he was a good man. Noah ultimately was saved from the wrath of God because he simply believed God. And when God said, Noah, come in, Noah went in. And what happened after Noah went in? The Lord shut him in. And I believe this teaches us a very practical truth spiritually. If you'll believe God and trust God when it comes to this matter of salvation, it's Jesus Christ, he's a picture. You know what he's a picture of? The ark. The ark is a picture of Christ. Once you're in, guess what? You're in. And if you've ever come to the point in your life where you've acknowledged that you're a liar before God, you're a thief before God, if you've ever used God's name as a cuss word, that's blasphemy before God, if you've ever looked with lust, the Bible says you've committed adultery already, and if you'll just admit to God that you're guilty of these things and ask him to forgive you, you trust that Jesus died for you, he was buried, and he rose again. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And can I tell you, once you're in, you're in. But Noah wasn't in because he was a good man. Noah was in because he simply took God at his word. And in Noah's day, God said, Noah, the way you're going to escape my wrath is to get in the ark. In our day, the way we escape the wrath of God is we must be in Christ. There's no other way. And so you see Noah's faith. You see Noah's family. You come down to chapter 8 and verse number 1, and the Bible says, and God remembered Noah. Don't you like that? Now, I think about this scene. I think about how it went down. I think that all of Noah's friends and a lot of Noah's peers and his neighbors in his community for years said, Noah, you're a fool. You're preaching, God's going to judge the earth. You're talking about rain. Noah, you're a fool. Do you know when they stopped calling him a fool? When it started raining. And you know what? The Bible says that the Lord shut him in. And I can't help but to think that maybe some of the neighbors started coming around and saying, hey, Noah, you in there? Hey, I'm sorry for calling you a fool, but would you please let me in now? It's too late. And maybe the water gets a little bit high, or maybe it gets up to waist deep. Hey, Noah, hey, we believe you. We believe you now, Noah. Just let us in. Hey, it's too late. And then maybe it gets up to their ears, and boy, they're just scrambling just to catch the last breath. Noah, please let us in. Noah, I promise we believe you now. But you know what? They had years to believe. And you see Noah's faith. And you see Noah's family, and Noah wasn't perfect, his family wasn't perfect, but they simply believed God. Now, I'm going to read one more verse from Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I know I love what the New Testament says about Noah. Hebrews chapter number 11 in verse number 7. Now, if you're not familiar with the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11 is commonly referred to the Hall of Faith. And it's all about people in the Old Testament that just simply believed God. I mean, yet you had people from blue-collar status. You had people from white-collar status. You had all these kind of people that's listed in here. I challenge you to read it sometime. The Bible starts off with, in verse number 4, it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. We talked about that last night. And I believe that Abel is a picture of faith worshiping. In verse number 5, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So Abel is a picture of God or man worshiping. And then you have faith Enoch. He was a picture of man walking with God. Enoch walked with God. And then you see in verse number 7, the third person in the Hebrew Hall of Fame, the Bible says, by faith Noah. It's interesting. Noah's a Hebrew name. You know what it means? It's amazing. You know what it means? Now what did he do for 100 years, maybe? He worked and he what? And Peter says he was a preacher of righteousness. So he built and he preached. I believe he worked like a dog to get this thing ready. He worked and he preached and he preached and he worked. You know what Noah's name means? It means rest. Isn't that amazing? But I'm telling you this, I'm learning, if I will just simply obey God every night, I can rest. I can just rest. I don't understand it all. I don't know how God's putting it all together. Yes, there's some struggles, but if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, guess what I can do? Just like Noah, I can build and I can rest. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, God gave everybody the same warning. The same warning. He was warned of God, the Bible says, as things not seen as yet. What was not seen as yet? Rain. And it all came to pass. And the Bible says, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So Noah, you know what he did? I think he did what a lot of us would do. You know, he can't make anybody believe, but he can lead his family. And he can teach his family. And I can't teach your family, but I teach my family how to work. I can teach them how to worship. I can teach them how to wed properly. I can teach them all these things. And Noah taught his boys. And you know what? When it was time to go in, you know what they did? They followed Dad's example, and they went in. And if nobody else got saved, guess who got saved? His family did. I had a preacher tell me this a few weeks ago, and it really warmed my heart. He said, now, preacher, at the end of your ministry, if you raise 3 good kids that really love the Lord, then your ministry has been a success. I said, praise the Lord. His family. And it's interesting. Noah built an ark to the saving of his house, but through his obedience, you know what he saved? I mean, if you really think about the story, everybody's wiped out except for Noah and his crew. He saved his own house, but by doing that, you know what he saved? By believing God, you know who he saved? The human race. I mean, he comes off the boat. It's right here in the Bible. And they begin to multiply again and replenish the earth. And really, you can study almost all kinds of entomology, human life, where it came from. Some say it came from Africa and their clothes. And some people say it came from somewhere else. But you know what? It came from where they got off the boat. And all of the other ethnic groups can be traced back to the 3. And so it's amazing. Simply because Noah obeyed God, he saved his own house, and he did something that nobody else has ever done before. He saved the whole human race. And sometimes we say, well, my obedience really doesn't matter. It does matter. Noah's faith, he walked with God. He was perfect and upright in his generation. Noah's family. He took responsibility as a dad, and he taught his family the things that he needed to teach them. And then the point number 3 is simply this, Noah's fame. We still read him about today. I mean, you can go to an ark today. Everybody knows about Noah's ark. And again, was Noah saved because he was a good man? He wasn't. He was saved because he simply believed God. And you know what? You say, well, I'm not that bad. I wouldn't go to hell. I think I would go to heaven because I'm not that bad. Can I tell you, you're not that good. God demands perfection. And the simple message of the gospel is this. 2,000 years ago, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And when he got into his 30s, he was born to die. He knew that. He surrendered his life. He was allowed himself to be nailed to a cross, and he hung there. And the Bible says that he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when a person, they look to the Lord, they call out to God for forgiveness, they receive the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, God forgives them, salvation has happened, and God looks at you just as if you have never sinned. And the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ is placed upon your life. You say, what do I got to do? All you have to do is believe God. It's that simple. Would you bow your heads and pray with me, please? With heads bowed and eyes are closed, I just want to ask you a couple questions and we'll be dismissed. We talk about Noah's Ark as a children's story, but you know who Noah's Ark is for? It's for all of us. And there's some great examples to learn and great truth to learn from the life of Noah. And the most important lesson that we really learn is about how to escape the wrath of God. We simply believe what God has said about how to do it. And I just want to ask you this question. If you're here tonight and you would say, Brother Thomas, I am absolutely sure that I've been born again. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm not perfect, but I'm absolutely sure if I died right now, I know for sure I would have eternal life in heaven with the Lord. You would say, I can say that for sure, 100%. Just slip your hand up in the air and I'll see it, and you can put it right back down. Now, don't raise your hand if you're not sure. Only if you're sure, put it up in the air and put it right back down. Thank you very much. Now, there are many of you that couldn't raise your hand. I appreciate your honesty. You can put your hands down. And maybe you're here and you're not sure tonight. Can I challenge you? You can be sure. The Bible says very simply, you have to admit to God what he already knows. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you've told one lie, you come short, because God's perfect and you're not. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have to admit what he already knows. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God forever. But the scripture says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is a gift. It cannot be earned. It's a gift that must be received. And then you have to call upon the Lord. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, Brother Thomas, I'm here, I'm not sure, and I'd like to get that settled. Would you remember me in prayer tonight? I'd love to pray for you. I won't embarrass you at all, but I will pray for you. You say, Brother Thomas, I've not been saved, but I'd like to get that settled. Tonight, I'd like to get it settled. Would you pray for me? I'd love to pray for you. Just slip your hand in the air and put it right back down. Is there anybody like that at all? I won't call you out or embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. You say, Brother Thomas, I'm not saved, but I'd like to get it settled tonight. You just slip your hand in the air. I'll see it. You can put it right back down, and we'll close the service. Now, before I pray, I want to challenge you with this thought. Let's not make things more complicated than they have to be. Parents, let's just believe God. Let's just teach our children. Let's be lights at home. And if we'll be lights at home, we'll be lights in our community. And we'll never know how far that'll go. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that, Lord, even in the days that we live in and in our world in 2019, it is a hard place. And I pray that, Lord, we would, like Noah, not look to the world for help, but look to you. Help us to be perfect and upright and just in our generation. And oh God, help us as parents and grandparents just simply to be sweet and obedient and set a good example for our children and our grandchildren. Help us to teach these important things. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you.